It is a very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. By the way, it was very interesting. I just looked at a tweet there by Stephen Donnelly to say that they're extending, of course, the free contraception. And obviously, as you know, free contraception came in for certain age groups, and they're extending the age groups constantly all the time to make sure that every woman can avail of free contraception here in Ireland. But it was interesting that he puts up, you know, free contraception will now be available for women and other persons. It's almost like they've been brainwashed into saying this other persons thing. I'm trying to remember which gender has a womb apart from women. Is it lads? Do lads have wombs? The last time I looked, they hadn't. I'm sure every biology teacher in the country is cringing going, why am I bothering? Why do I bother going to page? What was it in school? Do you remember in school? It was like page 42 of the biology book. And we all used to giggle every time it was opened because it had a male and female reproductive systems. And it had these artist-drawn images of a penis and a vagina. And we all got really excited by the very idea that we were going to be taught this in school. Page 40-something of the biology book. But all of those teachers must be all thinking to themselves, why bother? You know what I mean? Because nowadays it doesn't really matter. It's seemingly, according to, you know, Minister Stephen Donnelly and according to the government and every government minister that you listen to, it's kind of hard to find any one of them that thinks a woman can't have a penis. It's strange, isn't it? Strange world we live in. I think we'll look back in 100 years. Well, we won't. We'll be all dead. But I think scientists will look back and they go, what were they thinking in 2024? I really believe so. I really believe it'll change. And how I think the world is going to change, and just my prediction, all right? My prediction is, and particularly after the debate the other night, by the way, I don't know whether you watched the debate on CNN the other night, or which actually was on everywhere. It got a massive audience. I think something like 1.something billion people watched it. Watched Joe Biden, unfortunately, be the victim of elder abuse. And that's essentially what happened, particularly with his wife, Jill, treating him like a toddler afterwards. But the poor man couldn't string a sentence together. That was very obvious. And why they did that to him is beyond me. Why they allowed him, he obviously wanted to do it himself, but why they allowed him to do that when they spent 7 days in Camp David going through the whole debate over and over again, when surely one of his advisors would have turned around and said, lads, this is wrong. This is just wrong to do this to this man. I don't know what they gave him beforehand. Did they pump him up with some steroids just to keep him on his feet for 90 minutes? Even seemingly that was a struggle for him. But the very fact that on numerous occasions he forgot where he was in sentences, which I thought was, there was one funny point, of course, where Donald Trump turned around and says, I have no idea what he said, and I don't think he knows what he said either. I mean, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. And it was. It is elder abuse. So who is actually, what the question has to be asked, who's running America? Because it certainly is and Joe Biden, and I don't think it's Jill because she's a head case. It must be Obama. Obama's the one pulling the strings there, probably. But anyway, my prediction is Donald Trump will be elected on November the 5th, failing them, killing him between now and then, an assassination attempt or something stupid like that. Failing that, he will be the president on November the 5th. And also, I predict by this time next year, Nigel Farage will be the Prime Minister of England. So there you go. And now, of course, we're looking at right-wing MEPs or leaning to the right MEPs moving into Europe as well. Sadly, I didn't get a position, but others did and others will. And I can see the world changing. Because I can tell you now, Keir Starmer most likely will be the Prime Minister of Britain in the next few weeks. But that's not going to last very long because we all know he struggles with the fact of what a woman is as well. Now, speaking of women, by the way, let me get to today's topic. And I have a press release here that I wanted to read out to you. And this particular press release, by the way, comes from Alice Mulroy, who's the solicitor and the chief executive officer of the Pro-Life campaign. And she says, the latest abortion figures released by the government earlier this evening reveal that 10,033 abortions took place in Ireland in 2023, representing a devastating 250% increase from the 2,879 Irish abortions that happened, obviously, pre-2018. It means that one in six babies' lives are now ended in abortion in Ireland. The government waited until after 7 p.m. on Friday evening to release the figures in an obvious attempt, she said, to try to bury the story. The same senior politicians promised the Irish people before the 2018 referendum that if they voted for the repeal, abortions in Ireland would be still rare. They show absolutely no remorse for the appalling loss of life that is happening under the Irish law they introduced. Instead, they talk about making abortion even more widely available. Given how cold and indifferent the Irish government are or is to the horror of what's happening, realistically, there won't be any meaningful steps to reduce the abortion rate until more pro-life TDs are elected into the Dáil. The results of the recent elections were encouraging, and the lesson from today's figures is to stop voting for politicians who push abortion or sit on the fence. If you want to see change, get ready to pound the pavements, most likely this autumn, in the elections obviously, to ensure that as many pro-life TDs or pro-life councillors as possible become TDs and senators of tomorrow. So anyway, the point is, here we are 6 years later, and already figures show the availability of abortion has increased, the amount of pregnancies that end up in terminations has increased. And abortion is a very divisive topic, I get that. And I respect those, by the way, who believe it should be available, because I respect democracy, but I don't respect celebrating it, nor do I respect the possibility of going against the spirit of the referendum by moving the goalposts of the legislation and intending or extending the time limit to 12 weeks and getting rid of the 3-day cooling off period. But here's the question. Knowing what you know now, and, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, I suppose, which would be always a great thing, because I do believe people were duped during the referendum in 2018, how would you vote now in a new referendum? So let's say we didn't repeal the 8th, and they decided to have another referendum tomorrow. Based on what you know now, would you still vote yes? 67% of the voting public voted yes the last time. Would you still vote yes? Now, to talk to me a bit more about those figures is Eilis Mulroy, who is from... Oh, sorry, I didn't switch her on there. That'd be a good idea if I just turned her on, wouldn't it? Eilis, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall. Thanks for having me on the programme.
Now, Eilis, I know the pro-life campaign have been very active. We get regular press releases, but this one is quite startling, isn't it? 10,033 abortions in 2023, which is a massive increase on the original 2,879. Or maybe they kind of predicted it was a little bit more than that with people getting the abortion pills back in 2017-18. So, I mean, why do you think the increase is there? Is it just because it's available?
I think there's a couple of reasons, Niall, and you mentioned the fact there that, well, we referenced in our press release, the fact that this was put out after 7 p.m. by the government on a Friday evening, because, and I really believe that part of that is because they don't want to draw attention to these massive figures because of the number of people who I think will regret having voted for abortion back in 2018. We hear from a lot of people who are really kind of experiencing buyer's remorse because after seeing these huge figures. But to your question as to why the figures are so high, one of the main reasons, I would say, is that there is no effective means for a woman who is in unplanned pregnancy, who is struggling, who is looking for help. There's nowhere really for her to get that help from the government at the present time. The government, the only facility that's there is the My Options helpline, funded by the taxpayer. When you ring that helpline, even if a woman is not abortion-minded per se, even if she's just ringing to look for help, it appears, unless things have changed in very recent times, and I don't think they have, that a woman is really being sent down one road, down the road to abortion and being given the name of a doctor. And I think that's part of the problem. Mm-hmm. I do think as well that, you know, looking at the figures, they're so high. There were many, back looking at the percentages, there's less than 0.3% of those figures, of that 10,033, that were for risk to life or health. So the reality is that this over 98% of the abortions that are happening are not for risk to life or health.
So they're economic reasons, not for any other, or lifestyle reasons. So, yeah,
exactly. So that's very much a scenario in the first 12 weeks of pregnancy where you're kind of impacted by the culture that's surrounding you.
We were sold. Right now, okay, sorry, I just interrupted. You mentioned 0.3%, right? So we were sold the referendum. Well, not I wasn't, but people were sold the referendum on the idea of the hard cases. The hard case has been, of course, rape, fatal fetal abnormality, and fatal fetal abnormalities, and a woman's life being in danger. And you're telling me only 0.3%. So does that include fatal fetal abnormalities? I know you don't probably have figures on rape cases, but certainly with fatal fetal abnormalities, I'm assuming we have some figures on those. So does that include those as well, that 0.3%?
Yes, the 2023 figures, there were 129 abortions under Section 11 of the Act, which is a condition likely to lead to the death of the baby. So that equates to 1.2% of the overall figures. So it's less than 0.3% for both the fatal fetal abnormality or the risk to the woman's life. Now, I remember and I recall even talking to people, friends and relations who were voting yes. And when before the abortion referendum, and I remember speaking to people, and why are you voting yes? Because I don't want women to die. And, you know, again, the tragic case of Savita and how that was used. So so many people voted for it on that basis. And yet the figures demonstrate very clearly that that's not now what's happening. And you reference as well the many reassurances we got from senior members of government before the abortion referendum that the figures wouldn't be out of control. One in six babies' lives ended by abortion is out of control. Over 10,000 abortions last year, similar to the population of Ballina, County Mayo, a full town, really puts in perspective how out of control it has gotten. And it's really, really time. This government doesn't have any interest, despite the last few years and the abortion figures being huge every year since 2019. There's been no effort by the Minister for Health and no effort by government to make any change or to bring about a situation where women have positive alternatives to abortion. So the only option really is to vote in new people. And that's why the pro-life campaign, we're putting a huge emphasis on the elections. We put a big emphasis on the local and European, and we're going to be putting a big emphasis on the general to tell people if they want to see any change, they need to vote for people who will be more courageous on this issue.
Unfortunately, that didn't go well, Eilis, when you look at the European elections, for example. The four from Dublin we sent, for example, would be considered pro-life, or pro-choice, should I say. You know, the main one, I suppose, that would have been pro-life that we would be familiar with would have been Padraig Tobin from Aintu, for example. He ran for the European elections, and Padraig obviously has been very much the focus on promoting pro-life, but he didn't, unfortunately, wasn't successful. I wasn't successful, and people know my feelings on it, although because I'm a talk show host, I have to always be very careful what I say. But people don't have to read between the lines, and they know my feelings in relation to abortion. I do respect democracy, but I don't. I believe abortion is morally wrong. But in saying that, more recently, we haven't been seeing the government address what you're talking about, which is, you know, promoting or providing more money for information for women who may want alternatives to abortion, be it adoption or whatever it happens to be. And, you know, instead, we seem to be promoting the idea of extending the already bad laws, as far as some people are concerned, that we already have. In other words, which would be outside the spirit of the Constitution or the spirit of the referendum, because, of course, we were promised, well, people believed they were promised in the referendum, because I don't think the majority of people in the country, and I hate to say that voters are stupid because they're not, but in saying that, I think the majority of people, from what I remember talking about it on the radio, believed the government believed that they were changing the law rather than repealing it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because they thought, well, the government are promising us this 12 weeks, the 3-day cooling off period, etc., 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 and that won't ever change. I think they thought that would never change, and now all of a sudden we're looking at the goalposts being moved again.
That's right. Well, I think, look, people are entitled to have a level of trust in government, and you would like to think that you could trust the government in this on this particular issue, on many issues, but obviously this is an issue close to my heart. They absolutely have betrayed the people's trust. And not only that, there is zero space at the decision-making table now for any voices that aren't strident pro-abortion voices. And that's the reality, because if you know, we had any balance at all, the Minister for Health and other politicians would be really making a big effort to respond to these tragic figures, and they really aren't. And just going back to the elections, I mean, there were quite a few pro-life people voted in who were successful at the local elections, and they are people who have potential to be TDs and senators in the forthcoming general election. So I really think, like, while this is a tragic story and a tough story to talk about the abortion numbers, we do have the ability to see change in the coming months and years if people who believe in having some balance on this topic go out and vote for politicians who feel likewise.
So are you calling on TDs now? I mean, I'm assuming you are calling on TDs who are running for election, or people running for election, to nail their colours to the mast. So it's 33% of those voters, which would be people that would have said no in the referendum, for example, at least, if not more, 33% of those voters know where they stand when they want to vote for people. Is that what you're calling for now?
Yes, and yes, we are, Niall. And every election, the pro-life campaign, we produce a voter guide. We've been doing it for years, where we ask politicians to pledge if they're first-time candidates, and we look at the records of existing politicians, because, you know, your record speaks for itself too.
But can I say something to you on that? And I'm going to be completely honest. When I was running for the European election, it's very difficult to nail your colours to the mast, and I'll tell you why. Because there's so many different issues. Abortion is one of them, obviously, and it's the one for you, because that's the one you represent. But for me, before an election, to turn around and say that I'm pro-life, right, although most people probably realise I probably am morally, apart from anything else, but I do respect democracy, as I've said before. But for me to say that I'm pro-life, you're immediately going to alienate 67% of your potential voters who might want you on all the other issues. So isn't that the problem for elected representatives or people who are running for election, that they're terrified to say to you, listen, Eilis, that's great, put my name on your list there, I'm quite happy to do that, because as soon as you release your list, you know, it might alienate them from a lot of voters who they might be really well up on other issues. So isn't that a problem for politicians?
Well, of course, people always have to make decisions, and I totally understand that particular scenario. But I mean, I think a politician or a candidate has to be looked at in the context of all that he or she is offering the public. And I think that many people will vote for politicians who they might not agree with on everything, if they believe that person is honest.
Yeah, but this is a very divisive issue. But this is a very divisive issue, Alice.
And there are lots of divisive issues. And I think that we can find pro-life people and people who support abortion being available. There's lots of common ground we can find. For example, there's lots of people who consider themselves pro-choice, but who still believe women should get every option that they are entitled to in pregnancy and not just be sent down one road. I think part of it as well is the hostility from some elements of the media towards the pro-life movement that has been very apparent over many years. And I won't mention the particular media, but I think people
can
understand who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like over many, many years. And that's very much
What we need is that we do need, by the way, we need, and I've talked about this before, and I am going to do something about it, because we have a plan in place at the moment and a business plan going out to investors. But we do need a conservative media. We do, like other, you know, countries have conservative, like GB News, like Fox in America, whatever. We do need a conservative media. We need a media that leans slightly to the right, because all we have is, you know, RT and News Talk, essentially, who obviously are left leaning. So, you know, we do need a conservative media. But look, Eilis, I'm running out of time, but in relation to this particular figure, it's not going to get any better, is it? I mean, and at a time where we're down to what, 1.7 children per family, which is below population replacement level, we need to be encouraging people to keep pregnancies or to have children.
That's right, and we see in many other countries governments taking steps to encourage people, to encourage families, encourage people to have their babies. But I do think we can see change. And again, I think it's back to political progress, and every voter listening to the programme today and listening to every radio programme today has a role to play in that. And I think that there's a lot of positives out there. We also have many existing politicians who I know, many people in the parliamentary party of the government parties, who I know share common ground with us on elements of this too. And it's just up to them to be a bit more courageous around that space, and to really make their voices heard a bit more, internally as well as in the public arena on the topic. I do think there's a lot of positives out there, and I do think we can see change. But as to the media, to be honest, I agree with you, Niall, on the need for different media. I'd even be happy with a balanced media. Even a balanced media would be very good on this topic, because I think when people hear the reality of some of the voices of women who've been through abortion, for example, all of those voices have been completely denied a space in the Irish media in recent years. So balance would be good, especially from public.
Okay. Well, I hope we can address that issue in the future, because as I said, we do have a plan. Myself and my business partners, we do have a plan to set up a conservative media in Ireland, and I'll tell people more about that in the coming weeks. But Rona Mullen did say in an interview I did with him the other day, Senator Rona Mullen, why not introduce policies that at least try to reduce abortions? Can we please say that it would be better to try to reduce abortions, even if the law isn't going to change in the foreseeable future? It's gone so crazy that the government won't even talk about the desirability of there being fewer abortions. That was a quote from Rona Mullen the other day, Senator Rona Mullen, who I know has done great work. Listen, Eilis, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on the air. What shocking figures. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Seth Niall. Take care.
Bye-bye. Eilis Mulroy, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Pro-Life Campaign. And let me take your calls on this. So the question I'm asking today is, in hindsight, the benefit of hindsight, now knowing that there was 10,033 in a small country of 5 million people, that's a lot of abortions. It's 1 in 6 pregnancies end up in termination of pregnancy. Let me go to Bernie if I can first. Angela and Maureen, I'll be with you in a second. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm fine, Niall. I'm very, very upset about the numbers that I voted no. And if I was a referendum tomorrow, I'd continue to vote no. Like they're out there saving the whales and saving the forests and saving the skies and saving, you know, oil and whatever, but they won't save a human life. I don't get it.
Mm. And do you think, according to Eilis, you know, the reason is that the media are very much pro-choice?
I think yes. And like there's so much. I mean, I came from an era where there was no contraceptive. Mm. And you had to go under the counter. And there's so much out there free of there's so much access to so many data and information that we could all garner. It still doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter whether they're educated or uneducated. The advice is not getting through. And like I know people in my age group who had abortions back in the day, but they had went to England, and they're struggling mentally now with the decision they made and the regrets they have around it. Now, I'm not judging any other woman. I'm just speaking for me personally. I would happily have a baby, and I would always fight for the life of that child. That would be me. But that's my personal choice, and I would not inflict that on anybody else.
I mean, when we see the depleting population, you know, and I mentioned a few minutes ago, 1.7 children per family. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. The financial issues around, you know, affording homes, et cetera, is a huge problem. The very fact nowadays as well that we have a society where both men and women work, which is not the society we had many years ago, also affects the amount of children that we have as well, because you have to get childcare costs and everything else. But in saying that, we seem to be doing everything possible to encourage people not to have children. I mean, this 1 in 6 pregnancies end up in termination. I believe that's a terrible figure, by the way. It's an awful figure. I believe we could do something about that. Yeah, it is a shocking figure. 1 in 6 end up in termination. Not only that, we obviously today announced that we've now expanded the free contraception to older women as well. Now, by the way, I'm not saying that's such a bad thing, by the way, because the cost of contraception can be very expensive for people who can't afford it, particularly when you're talking
about... Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, with the Mirena coil, for example, is about 450 quid here in Ireland, where it's free in the UK. So it should have always been free. Those kind of permanent contraception, if people want to use them, should be available for people based on how much money they earn. And it also should be, you know, affordable for people who really want it. But in saying that, everything we're doing is discouraging people to have children.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Like, I mean, why aren't the government looking at the terrible situation where parents have to produce, both of them have to have pay slips going into a bank to apply for a loan, for a house, mm-hmm. to house their children. Like, where is the government in that? Where is the legislation around that, where people have to have X amount in their bank accounts? Mm-hmm. There's no houses out there. But, you know, they're not addressing the elephant room. Why aren't parents given more, opportunities to be at home with their family for the first 5 years and have suitable childcare in place? You know, like, why aren't the government looking at those areas?
I mean, I'll give you one quick example. Yesterday, during the week, they released new homes in the Oscar Traynor Road. And they're classed and labelled as affordable housing, right? Affordable housing. They're €460,000. I don't know who the hell can afford them, unless you're Rothschild. So, you know, stay there.
Two of my children, one of them is married. They can't have children because they're trying to get on the. They're trying to find a house to buy. They can't afford it. They'll be too old by the time they get to having a child.
Okay, stay there for a second. Let's go over to Angela if I can. Angela, hi. How are you?
Oh, I'm ready for this.
Far away. But Angela, you know, it's kind of hard to defend the increase. We were told at the time, if you vote yes to this, don't worry, the figures might go up a little bit, but they won't go up much. They've gone up 250%.
Yeah, but Niall, anyone who voted yes was not voting on numbers, okay? They're not voting on numbers. They're not. How can any person sit there and believe someone who said the numbers won't go up that much? Like, I wasn't voting on numbers. I was voting for a woman's choice. That's what I voted for. You know, and that's what I stand by. And if the referendum went around again, then I would still vote yes.
And by the way, I respect your democratic right to vote yes, and I respect the idea that you believe it's a woman's choice. But, you know, we've got to look at this from a very serious point of view. 6 pregnancies end up in termination. You know, in a small country like Ireland, of 5 million people, who, you know, we're conservative.
I thought it was 1 in 6.
Well, 1 in 6. I do apologise. Yeah, sorry, 1 in 6. Did I say 6 pregnancies? Sorry, 1 in 6. Yeah. 1 in 6 pregnancies. That's a difficult figure to even think about. It's 10,000 babies that would have been born. Now, let's leave aside the 0.3%.
We're going to leave aside the rape, We're going to leave it.
Well, okay, we don't know the figure for rape. And by the way, can I just point out that conversation was had during the abortion referendum, and the figure was minuscule, and I mean minuscule.
That's why I'm saying.
Okay.
Leave that aside, and
let's look at the other two. The other two things were if a woman's life is in danger, or indeed if it's a fatal fetal abnormality, and that covers 0.3% of the 10,033.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's nonsense. The majority, the vast majority of the 10,033, you know, 9,900 and something, whatever it was, I don't know, the vast majority of those figures are people who did it for economic reasons, or it's just not the right time for me to have a baby.
Yeah, no.
So inconvenience, Angela, is the word I'm using. Yeah.
Who was the lady that was on at the start?
Eilis. Mulroy.
Eilis, right? Yeah. The one thing I have to say really and truly annoyed me was when she said, this is a thing that's close to my heart.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Did she give a reason why it's close to her heart?
Because she's a campaigner.
No. Yeah. You see, when you're a campaigner, it's not close to your bloody heart, not.
I was scared. Hold on. I'm not a campaigner, but it's close to my heart too.
No, hold on a second. It can't be close to your heart, right? When I look at close to your heart means you've been in that position. That's close to your heart.
Bye-bye.
If someone turns around and says, oh, I lost my mum. Oh, yeah, that's very close to my heart. That's very close to my heart. Yes.
Angela, it's close to my heart. Choice. Okay, it's close to my heart. Explain that one then.
Right.
And it's close to my heart because I was born in 1963 in a mother and baby home. And if abortion had been legal and had been as commercially available as it is now, I'd probably be just a part of that 10,000 statistic.
Okay. Well, that's perfect.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying. That's perfect. But I'd like to ask Bernie, why is it close to her heart?
But Bernie's gone
there. Has he ever been in that position?
Okay, well, we'll ask somebody else. Yeah. Bernie's gone.
We'll ask somebody else. Have they ever been in that position? Because this is what annoys me. This is what really grates on me, is when you have a man who has absolutely nothing to do and never had to make this kind of a choice with a partner. I'm not saying a man can't get that. I'm not saying that at all. Because they have an equal right to it as well. But what I'm saying is, unless a man has sat there with a woman and discussed having an abortion and the reasons why, they're talking out through their holes.
Okay, one of the comments on YouTube says the reason it's close to people's heart is because babies are dying. That's a fair reason, isn't it, to be close to people's heart? Doesn't matter if they're your babies, they're somebody else's babies, the idea that babies are dying.
Do you know why?
Actually, not dying, to be terminated.
I would give it at a very high percentage that all of those people who are pro-life have never been in that position.
Maybe not. Well, stay there. Let me just bring Maureen in as well, and let me ask Maureen why it's close to her heart. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Okay, why is it close to your heart, Maureen?
Well, it's close to my heart for the simple reason that the comment that was made on YouTube, innocent children are being murdered. That's the word for it. And if that isn't close to someone's heart, I don't know what is. Just because you're a campaigner and you say something is close to your heart, you feel passionately about what you're talking about or what you're doing. All those things are close to your heart.
So a guy being...
And I had two miscarriages. I had three children. I had two miscarriages. Angela... You had your chance. Please let someone else speak. Was that not close to my heart? I didn't murder them. I have miscarriages. I lost two babies.
Yeah.
And this is what's happening. I actually liken it to genocide. Look at the future generations that have been wiped off the face of this earth through murdering unborn children. And we are living in a culture of death where the only option, it seems, is for a woman to go down the road to murder her child instead of more services being available to help them keep their babies. And they're out there. There are groups out there that will help women to keep their babies. But they're not being told that because we are in a culture of death, Angela.
Can I give you an interesting statistic? Sorry, I'll put this to Angela if I could.
Sorry, go on. Yeah.
96% of women who couldn't access abortion, right? So in other words, they didn't have access to abortion, so ended up just going and having the baby, right? You know, they wanted an abortion because they couldn't get easy access to it, so they went and just had the baby. It was easier. 96% of women who couldn't access abortion don't regret that after 5 years. And in other words, 5 years later, they went, oh, Jesus, thank God I didn't do that. 96% of women. So what does that kind of say to you? That the idea of having an abortion is a there and then moment. Do you know what I mean, Angela?
No.
I'm not saying women are stupid. I'm just saying it's a there and then crisis situation. You know, it's like when you make a decision based on a crisis. It could be the right decision, it could be the wrong decision. And you make a decision based on maybe how much money you have, maybe you've just started a career, I don't know, whatever it is, the inconvenience of being pregnant at that particular time. Because most of the abortions happen for that reason. But if they could get through that time and that moment, according to this survey, 5 years later, they wouldn't regret making that decision.
Well, just to say to Maureen there, Maureen, I also had two miscarriages and I had a termination. So you can't get it much closer to my heart because I was in that position. I did have to make that choice. Have you ever had to make that choice?
No, Angela, I haven't had to make that choice. But that, you see, your argument doesn't hold water.
So you were trying to...
Because we are, we are talking about innocent children. We are not talking about animals or anything else.
I asked you a question. No, Maureen.
No, I wasn't. I told you.
You answered it. I asked you a question and you answered it. But you know what the difference being, Maureen, is? You are sitting there telling me how I should feel, how I should go about my life and what I should do. That's the difference. You are sitting there telling every woman out there in that position how they should feel about it, what they should think about it, how their lives should be patterned. That's what you're doing.
And what you're doing is sitting there telling me that I shouldn't have an opinion and I shouldn't stand up for the unborn children that are being slaughtered through genocide.
Angela, that is exactly what you're doing. What I am letting a woman do is make a choice. That's what I am doing. I am letting every woman out there in the world make a choice. Whereas you are
so you don't call abortion. You don't call abortion by the correct term that it is murder. You don't look at it like that.
It's a termination.
So you just think the child is just a clump of cells, which they have been referred to. A clump of cells. Well, actually, we're all clumps of cells, Angela.
I am calling it by its correct name.
Maureen, what do you say to what Angela is saying and what 67%
you're ending a life.
Okay, well, hang on, Maureen. What do you say to the 67% of people, including Angela, who voted yes, who believed that it was a woman's right and a woman's issue and a woman's choice to make that decision in a crisis pregnancy? Well, what do you say to those 67% of people, 67% of voters?
What do I say to
them? Are they all murderers?
Well, they look, Niall. The bottom line is, and I'm sticking to this, and I've always said it, and I've said it from the very beginning. You take a pill that is going to remove the child from your womb, you have murdered your own child. It is simple as that. There is no ifs, ands, and anything about it. That's what it is. You get somebody else to do it. You're hiring, basically, I call a hitman. Now, whether you like it or not, Angela, doesn't bother me. This is my opinion, and I will continue to say it and continue to stand up for the unborn children.
Why don't you?
I heard what he asked me.
Why?
Because they were given a choice. Because they were given a choice. Did they vote for did they make the wrong choice in voting for this? Of course they did. Because I was on the doors here. I was met with this. Oh, well, the government told us it was only 12 weeks. We tried to tell the people, you hand it to them, they'll open the floodgates. It was their choice to listen or disregard what we tried to tell them.
And you want to take that choice away from a woman?
I want the unborn children to be allowed to live. More services to help women to keep their babies. I'm not taking the choice away. I'm telling you what I want.
Well, you are by saying you would like that, obviously. But you want to take that choice away. Well, because if you had an option, Maureen, of course, I'm assuming you would put back in the legislation to the Constitution again. Okay, but
of course I would.
Yeah, okay, but stay there, Angela and Maureen. Just let me just go to Morris and John. I'll be with you in a second. Morris, hi, how are you?
How you doing, Niall? Yeah, I was listening to the stats about the amount of abortions that control. It is a very big increase, all right.
Massive.
But in my opinion, Ireland is 20 years behind everybody else. That's my playing catch up now, you know? We don't know what's going on in the country. There's a lot of babies being made, and I voted yes, like Angela, because I wanted to give women choice what they wanted to do over their bodies.
When you say we're playing catch-up, right? I'll give you another example then. The majority of countries in Europe have an age of consent which is lower than Ireland's. Does that mean we should reduce our age of consent? Just because another country does something, we should do it as well? That's not playing catch-up. That's just because we're a different country. We have different moral values.
Well, if we didn't have the pro-choice here, a choice for the woman to choose herself, those 10,000 women would have had to go across the water and have their baby terminated. No, they wouldn't.
Because those 10,000 women didn't go across the water. Because what went across the water was roughly 2,500 to 3,000 people. Okay, so in other words, the other 7,000 or 8,000 made a different choice. They went, okay, this is too awkward. I'm not going to bother with this. I'll just have the baby.
Can I ask where those stats come from?
The stats that were released on Friday were released by CSO, by the government.
No, not those ones. But you know the ones they say that 2,500 travelled over for abortion?
Those would be based on figures given by Mary Stopes and by the NHS in the UK.
I'd say they're a lot bigger than that.
Let's agree there's a margin of error. But the margin of error isn't 250%. Margins of error can be 4 or 5%.
I can actually tell you it could be because I gave a fake name and an address.
It doesn't matter whether you gave a fake name. They know where you come from.
How many women are listening to this program that have carried this secret for 40 years, Niall? How many women are listening to this program now that are carrying a secret for 40 years and they're being reminded of what you did now 40 years ago, listening to this program?
And the difference is, Niall, how do they know?
Nobody knows about us.
I was Irish.
I don't know the procedure, Angela, when you go to Mary Stopes in the UK.
No, but this is what I'm trying to say. This is the people who gave their real names and their real addresses.
But it wasn't 10,000. Yeah, but it wasn't 10,000.
How do you know?
Ah, would you stop out with that?
Come on. Very serious.
Are you telling me that roughly only about 30% of people who went over there, or less actually, 30% actually gave their real name?
Yeah,
or an identification.
Would you do a poll on your program and find out of the women of Ireland, if you had your way to do it again on a poll, would you vote the way you did and bring abortion in?
But that's what I did. Well, that's the question we're kind of asking today. And looking at Twitter and looking at Facebook, it's kind of 50-50. I'm not going to lie to you.
I brought up one case on your show a few years back where we found out a 12-year-old was pregnant. And she was 6 months pregnant before they could do anything about it. It was too late.
Yeah, I remember that story.
And
by the way, there always is those cases, Maurice. And I think that the referendum was based on those cases. I mean, nobody would deny a woman whose life is endangered the opportunity to save her life. There's nobody's going to deny a woman who has a fetal abnormality the life choice to make that decision, you know, of a baby who's going to be born, unfortunately, without a quality of life or is going to die 5 minutes after they're born. There's nobody would deny all those women, or in the very rare case that a woman gets pregnant while she's being raped. But that's not what we're talking about, Maurice. Because they're a tiny percentage of people who have abortions.
Yeah.
I understand, I looked at a program similar to Trump and Biden. You know the way that a doctor comes in front of a congressional committee?
Yeah, yeah.
In America. Yeah, and he absolutely described exactly what he does when he's terminating a woman's baby. Oh, now, it was horrific. It was horrific.
Of course it's horrific to listen to.
Yeah, horrific to listen to it. And that man described it, you know, and I know you just said earlier on you're morally against it. I probably would be the same, but I wouldn't let my morals tell a woman what to do with her own body. And that's what's wrong in this country.
We do that all the time when we talk about things like the age of consent, for example. Morally, we decide, and we have decided in this country, that under the age of 17, morally, you shouldn't be able to consent to having sex because we think you're too immature to do that. So we base things constantly on morals, on our morals, or the government's morals, or whoever it is, because that's what it's all about. That's what legislation is all about. We don't trust that people can make certain decisions.
Yeah. Plus the fact we know now through mobile phones and the technology, 8 and 10 year olds are watching porn, hardcore porn now. They're already being corrupted before they get to the age.
That's not a good thing either. Sorry, Maureen, you wanted to say something there. Go ahead.
No, I didn't know. I was just listening.
I'm looking here. There's a message in from Susan, and she says, Angela is saying, if you're not in that situation, you can't have an opinion on it. That's bollocks. I have never been in a situation where my life has been affected by murder, but I still know it's wrong. You don't have to be directly affected by something to know that it's actually wrong.
No. What I'm saying is, somebody who says it's close to their heart and is telling me what to do. That's what I'm saying. Don't turn around and say to me, tell me that I shouldn't have abortion, that I shouldn't. Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to say.
No, I buy what they're saying, to be honest with you, Angela. And I think you're a little bit out of order by saying people, unless they're directly affected by it or whatever, shouldn't have an opinion. I mean, there are people, for example, who don't have kids, but they come onto this show or my radio show all the time and talk about parenting issues.
You are entitled to your opinion. Of course you're entitled to your opinion. But what I'm saying is, you cannot tell me how it feels when you haven't been through it. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's like saying you can't tell me that you have an opinion on murder because you've never been the victim of it, or your family have never been the victim of it. That's nonsense, Angela.
But someone can't turn around to me and say, don't have an abortion, don't murder
someone. Just because you've been directly affected by something doesn't just give you a veto on it. I mean, that everybody is entitled. We all live in a civil society where we're all part of the civil society, and we all make decisions on how we want society to be run. So, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you've been directly affected by it.
Now, I don't know after all these years if you haven't realised this is all about me.
Let me go to John. I'll tell you, it won't be all about you when John gets on the air. John, hi, how are you?
Here we go.
John.
How's it going?
Yeah, how are you doing? Yeah, okay. It's all about Angela.
Listen, first of all, you have two callers on there. I'll get to Angela in a second, but I'll address Morris first.
Morris is gone, but go on. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, well, he's forever flying the flag. I'm supporting all the protests in Ireland. It's been overrun, and we must get back our own and all this blah, blah, blah. And he was in the army and everything. He's horrified at the thought of the way the abortions are carried out. He's upset physically almost about it. But at the same time, he still promotes the person's right to do it, right? So that's, he's contradicting himself there. Now, you have two women on the line here. You have Maureen and you have Angela, right? Now, they have one thing in common. They both had two miscarriages, right? But the difference between Maureen and Angela is Angela has had a third pregnancy and she has taken the life of that child. Maureen hasn't. So, Angela, you have killed one child. Maureen hasn't killed the child. You have.
Yeah.
You can respond to that, Angela, in whatever way you feel fit.
Well, the thing, myself and John truly 1,000,000,000% differ on this. And we have had our arguments on this. And when this came up, I knew John was going to come on. And the one thing I want to say is, John, you're being very respectful today. And thank you very much for that. In regards to it, it was my choice. I don't regret it. It was the right thing to do at the time. And anyone who is in that position, I think, should be allowed to make their own choice.
Now, yeah, I ask you a question, so, right? I mean, by your own admission again, no, you have no kids now, right?
No.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
If you could turn back to clock, no. And you could have that child back in your life. Would you not want to do so?
No. And do you know what, John? The thing is...
Can I interrupt there, Angela? Because you did talk about it, and I don't want to be insensitive to you, right? You did talk about the fact that you, from a very early age, you found out that you couldn't have children, right? And obviously because you had to have surgery and all sorts of things. And I won't go into it too deeply.
Yeah.
But you came on the air one night, I think it was on the radio actually, and you were really upset about that. Okay, I remember you crying. You were crying and you were really upset.
Yeah, yeah.
By the fact that you were told at a young age that you couldn't have children. So when John asks you if you would like a child now, you can't say no because you told me already you were upset at the fact that you couldn't have children. So the point he's asking is...
so upset.
Yeah, well...
I was so upset.
Yeah.
But I have no regrets on my decision, right? If I was to go back to that specific day, I would not change my decision.
Angela, I don't believe you're being honest with yourself.
No, I really don't. I wouldn't.
But the point is, Angela, and I don't want to go in too deeply into your personal situation as to what happened when you were pregnant time, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember you telling me about it once.
Yeah.
But it's kind of irrelevant. But the point is, if it was different circumstances.
Oh, if it was different circumstances.
If the pregnancy was different circumstances. Yeah, okay.
If the pregnancy.
So the point is, it wasn't the pregnant. I think the point John is making is you would like a child, but the circumstances around that pregnancy, and John, let's not go into it too deeply, but the circumstances around that pregnancy weren't the right circumstances. And I get
that. Can we just maybe move it away now for Angela and go to the broader picture of
the stats that have come out, right? Because you're being very caring today, and thank you very much. Thank you so much. I've no regrets. If it was different, of course, yes, I would have loved kids. Of course I would have. But that was taken from me by the man above, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
I love my life. But I would never take a woman's choice away. To do it.
Okay, John, getting back to the figures of 10,000. Okay, so John, back to the figures. I want to go back to the original question. Do you think if we had a referendum tomorrow, knowing what we know now, do you believe that the results would be different? If people knew there was that many abortions going to happen?
I reckon it could be neck and neck now if it was run again, which I don't believe it will. But if it was for the sake of argument, right, I think it would be down to the wire. Because I think a lot of people, in fact, there was a lot of people who came on your show after, and I remember one night you were remonstrating.
One gobshite, I remember, I know the one you're going to talk about.
I didn't vote, typically on the telly, I didn't vote for abortion on demand, and you said to him, I have a good memory, you voted for the 12 weeks, which they're trying to extend out now, and by doing that, you voted for abortion on demand. And that clown couldn't get that into his head. And unfortunately, there was a lot of clowns out there. They didn't do the research. They didn't open these things in the side of their head called ears and listen that 12 weeks with no restrictions means abortion on demand of perfectly formed children that, if allowed to continue in the pregnancy, will be born and will be allowed to live.
Stay there for a second, because stay with me, John and Angela, because I want to go to Jessica and Huey. Jessica, hi, how are you?
Hiya.
How you doing, Jessica? Jessica, if there was a referendum tomorrow based on what we know now and the massive increase in figures over the last 6 years, do you believe that people would still vote yes?
No, I actually think the result would change. Now, would my vote change? No. That referendum was the first referendum. I voted yes. I had my own reasons for voting yes. And I honestly wouldn't change it. Now, I know people like John Moran are probably going to scream down the phone at me, call me all sorts, but that's just my belief. I voted yes, and I feel like I got hoodwinked by the government.
When you say you've been hoodwinked in what respect?
In other words, you voted with the hard cases.
My idea was that it was going to be available, but for very certain circumstances.
With the greatest respect, Jessica, I'm surprised at you. You didn't research it very well then when you voted yes, that if you thought that. Yeah.
Well, no, maybe I didn't research enough, but I voted yes because, God forbid, the way I thought of it, God forbid anything happened to me, my sisters, my nieces, if anything sinister happened to us and we ended up in that position, I wouldn't want to feel like I had no option or that they had no option.
But you see, now that's the problem. They didn't listen. Look, I keep repeating, like, when Micheál Martin stood up in the Dáil and said he was okay with the 12 weeks, that was given the green light, and people went in on the back of that, right? They said, look, a lot of people voted, as I said, repeating, on the hard cases, but unfortunately, they didn't listen. That it was with no restrictions then. It's not that the child had any fatal abnormalities, or anything at all. It was open season then at the 12 weeks, which they're trying to push out now, the 20 weeks.
And that shouldn't have been the case. I understand that. That shouldn't have been the case. And I know that's a small percentage of the abortions that are happening. But if you're someone who decided to have an abortion for economic reasons because you couldn't afford it or this, that and the other.
Or it wasn't the right time in your life.
As Maureen said at the start there, there should be a system there. There's plenty of money in this country, right? If a girl, any woman finds herself in trouble, She should have the option of keeping that shine. And I, as a taxpayer, and the government should be able to help that woman out.
Here's an interesting slant. Okay, sorry, can I just interrupt here to both Angela and Jessica, right? Here's an interesting slant. In 1963, when I was born, there was no option for women. And when I say there was no option for women, you know, women didn't have money. We didn't have social welfare supports that we did for single parents at the time. So my mother had me in a mother and baby home and had to put me up for adoption because she couldn't afford to keep me, right? Now, if there was an option there for abortion, she might have went for it. I don't know if it was free or something like that. Maybe she would have went for it and I wouldn't be here today talking. But then again, nobody would know that because I would have never existed. But we've basically gone back to that time again. But we're just doing it differently. We're saying, okay, you do have an option now. And the option is just get rid of it. Just get rid of it.
You know what I find ironic? And I'm probably going to get slated for saying this. The same people, right, who go to the extreme ends of pro-life, who go towards the kind of whole, it's against God, blah, 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 blah. They're the same people who won't even disagree with the mother and baby homes. Because there are people out there who... They have such a high faith that they wouldn't even
Nobody mentioned God. Nobody mentioned God here today. And all the callers you had, like myself and Maureen so far, that would be pro-life, the word God wasn't mentioned. It is immoral completely to take the life of anyone against their will, whether they're unborn or born. No one has the right to kill.
It's immoral, but not illegal, just to mention as well that back in 2018, because we couldn't have had the referendum without the decision by the Supreme Court, the decision by the Supreme Court before the referendum was the unborn child has no legal rights.
Which was a disgrace.
I'm only telling you what the Supreme Court said.
That doesn't make it morally right, just because of the court
had to come to that decision. And I'll tell you why, John, the court had to come to that decision. Because you couldn't have a situation where the right of the unborn child superseded the right of the pregnant mother. You couldn't have had that situation. Because that would have put us back to a situation where a woman couldn't have an abortion even if her own life was in danger.
That was already covered now with respect under the 8th Amendment that if the doctors had to make a choice and they had to try, they couldn't save both, they would save the mother. That was already covered.
Yeah, sorry, Angela, I need to go to Hughie there.
John, listen. It's been brought up. It's God has been brought up. So can you tell me why up until recently that when a stillbirth was born, it wasn't registered with the Catholic Church because it didn't take a breath outside the womb? Now, my younger brother was born stillborn. There is no death cert. The priest didn't go when he was buried because
that's not just the Catholic Church, by the way. That's the state as well. The state doesn't recognize the birth of a child unless the child takes a breath.
And also, would you agree with the state funding IVF?
I would have thought, look, I don't care if a couple are trying for a kid. Whether it is surrogacy, right? Whether it is IVF, as long as they want that child, I have no problem whatsoever. The Catholic Church mightn't agree with it, and I'm a Christian and I'm a baptized Catholic, right? But I have no problem with a couple that if they can conceive naturally, right? If they want to use the surrogate, if they want to go through IVF, I believe it, they should be fully supported by the taxpayer.
I'm looking here between Facebook and YouTube at the moment, because as you know, we stream on both, 30% support abortion and 70% don't. That's kind of bizarre, considering we're living in a country where it's legal. Stay there for a second, lads and ladies. Hughie, I do apologise.
Yep.
Hughie, hi, how are you?
Very good. Listen, I'm just on the statistics about abortions we have to take with a pinch of salt.
Okay.
Because if you look at it right, abortions to Irish women in the UK peaked maybe 15 or 20 years ago and fell up until the amendment. But what was actually happening was the introduction of the abortion pill came in.
Yeah, which was available online. Yeah.
Which is online. So it's very difficult to... You say that it's gone up 250%. Well, it's actually gone up about 150%, but that doesn't really matter. The point is, in Ireland, roughly 1 in 6, about 15 to 20% of pregnancies end in abortion, which is quite similar to other advanced democracies like UK, France, etc. They're a little bit higher, around the 20-25%. So we're not hugely out of sync when it comes to the amount of...
Surprises me for Ireland, but I mean, it surprises me for Ireland because morally we're a very different country to many of those countries around Europe.
Well, no, the point I'm making to you is that the statistics haven't changed hugely because there was a whole grey world of the abortion pill. As I said, if you look at the numbers...
Yeah, but Hughie, can I say something to you? When we brought in, when we had the referendum back in 2018, there was pros and cons and there was people arguing on the telly and all sorts of debates going on, right? And the pro-life movement had said, if you bring in abortion, the numbers will double. And the pro-choice said, Dublin's so silly, that's never going to happen. The sky's not going to fall in. It'll still be 3,500 or 4,000 or whatever it is, depending on... Obviously, you said there's a margin of error because of the pill, and I accept that. There probably was.
No, it's not in the margin of error. It's like, you're talking maybe another 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000.
Possibly. Maybe.
So the point I'm making to you is that the numbers were wrong all along. We were doing about 15 to 20% of pregnancies ended up in abortion, either in the UK or increasingly over the last 20 years, women would just buy them over the internet, right? So the numbers actually haven't changed. We're in around 15 to 20%. UK is around 20-25%. France, we're similar to those other countries. And
anyway, yeah, but I don't know whether I want to be similar to other countries because, as I mentioned earlier on, just because other countries do things doesn't mean we should or we should be like them.
The point is irrelevant, right? The point is irrelevant. The point is either you believe a woman has a right to choose or you don't. You can't really say...
And how did you vote, by the way, Hughie, can I ask you?
I voted yes.
Okay.
I voted yes, but I would have preferred a much more liberal regime like the Dutch one, which is 23 weeks. I voted yes.
Why not have it up to birth down together?
Sorry, I didn't hear what you say there.
He said, why not have it up to birth?
Why don't you have abortion right up to birth, as you're asking, the day before the woman can change her mind?
Well, the way I look at it this way is that up to about the early 20 weeks...
23 weeks. A fetus is viable outside the womb at 23 weeks.
Yeah, about 23, 24 weeks. And that's why in Holland, that you can have it up to 23 weeks.
Same in the UK. It's up to 23 weeks.
It is
in the UK up to 23 weeks, depending on the circumstances, but the likes of Mary Stopes don't really care.
The point is that you're saying to a woman that once the child becomes viable, you have to carry on, because the point is that up to that, it's your responsibility. After that, it's not just your responsibility. So that's what I'm saying. And obviously, you can have abortion up to birth in cases of where the child wouldn't survive. Like, but the point I make is, either you agree with abortion or you don't. You can't kind of be half agreeing and half not. Either you think a woman has the right to choose, or you believe a woman doesn't.
Nobody has the right to take the life of the unborn, right?
Unfortunately, it is now legal,
like, to murder children in this country. Marine has used the word murder, so it's now legally
You can use whatever word you like. The courts don't use the word murder.
John, I mean, don't get me wrong, I know you're pro-life and pro-life people use that word, but technically you're incorrect, because the Supreme Court decided that the unborn child doesn't have a right not to be murdered, if that's the way you want to word it.
There's two laws, right? There's the law, and there's the...
Okay, one at a time. Sorry, Hugh. Hang on, John. Hugh, finish what you want to say.
Sorry, John keeps saying murder, okay? Well, if John believes it's murder, if he believes it's murder, why doesn't he walk into his local Garda station and tell them that there's 10,000 murders happened in Ireland each year? He can go through all the doctor's records, all the hospital records. It's all there, right? So why don't you walk into your local Garda station, John, and say that 10,000 murders took place in Irish hospitals and doctor's surgeries last year and get them to do it? I'm sure they'd jump at it if somebody walked and said 10,000 murders happened. Like, we have about 40 or 50 every year. So all of a sudden there's 10,000 new ones. So why don't you do that?
No, for the simple reason, obviously one of the things I said, it is now legal to permit that type
of murder.
So it's not murder. I have no point in going...
Mind you, it was never actually murder. John, it would be actually infanticide if you wanted to make a claim.
There's the moral law as well, and the moral law says nobody has the right to kill anybody.
There's no such thing as moral law.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
There's a law of the land.
We do accept that there is kind of moral laws as well, isn't there?
What moral laws?
Most laws are made based around our morals and what we believe is right and wrong.
Well, that's the opinion.
Okay, you are right, Hugh. It is opinion. You are right.
What counts in a court is the Constitution and the laws. That's all that counts.
No. Yeah. What I'm saying is most laws that we implement or we have implemented over the last 100 years, according to our Constitution, have been based on the morals of the country and the morals of the people of the country. Like, we decide morally. They are based on morals.
Social contract. They're based on social contract.
Yeah, absolutely. But we do understand it's morally not right to box somebody's head in, so we have a law called assault. Or common assault.
Can I ask Huey there and Angela now there, right?
Oh, Huey, yes, Huey. Ask Huey if you want. Angela's gone.
Okay. The exclusion zones now are going to be brought in, which will prohibit people like me turning up outside hospitals or GPs praying for the unborn, right? Do you support my right, Huey, to stand outside the COH hospital here in Cork with a crucifix
silently
and a poster saying, pray for the unborn whose lives have been taken here today? Have I the right to do that?
Absolutely. I'd be 100% behind you. I believe in free speech. If you want to stand outside the hospital and say whatever you like, that's freedom of speech. I believe in freedom of speech. Mm. As long as you're not actually blocking someone.
Or intimidating anybody. Yeah.
No, access to the egress, that's fine. You can do whatever you like. Mm. You know? Stand there and good luck to you. That's freedom of speech.
Can I ask you a question? If the referendum was rerun again tomorrow, based on hindsight, and I speak to a lot of people on the radio who've talked about abortion, more so before the referendum. We haven't been talking about it as much since the referendum because it's a bit of overkill, pardon the pun. But in saying that, if I talk to people, the majority of people after the referendum when I spoke to them thought, oh, look, I voted for it because I don't want to see a woman's life in danger. I don't want to see a fatal abnormality. And I don't want to see a woman who has been raped and is pregnant be in a predicament like that or a difficult situation.
They base their vote on that. The rape argument is nonsense.
Of course it is. But it doesn't happen that often.
If a woman was to have an abortion based on the fact it was rape, how do you establish she was raped? It takes months and years to establish.
Well, the power of finding out it was established at the time, it was an extremely rare circumstance. Okay.
It does happen. So that was just nonsense. Either you believe a woman has the control of her body, no matter how she became pregnant, whether it was a loving relationship or a rape, it doesn't matter. Either you believe she has the right to control her body or you don't. It's like it's a binary situation. I believe she does. Others don't. And good luck to them.
Okay, Huey, do me a favour. Stay with me for a second if you can.
Reinstate the 8. That's where you should start his campaign.
Okay, well, same. John would campaign for that in the morning if he could.
I'd say good luck to him.
Okay, Huey, stay there for a second. Gladys, hi, how are you?
Hi, isn't I? Not too bad.
Good. You've heard Huey. You know, he disagrees with the figures, and he's probably right to some degree. There is a huge margin of error in the figures because the original figures from 2017-18, which is 2,879, don't take into consideration the amount of women that would have purchased online abortion pills, which would have been more available in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I've been just listening to everybody speaking there, and this is why I would always back away from it, because the words murder, women who murder their babies and all of that language. It's like the language that they used to use for women who got pregnant, the fallen woman, the woman that needs to be banished, and you name it. So I hate all of that kind of language, because I think that what has happened is I personally, as a woman, I've changed my views all through my life, you know, but I personally would not have an abortion unless I absolutely was going to save my life. Or that the life of the child.
Yeah.
But I have had friends who've had abortions and had what's never considered in these arguments or discussions is it is traumatic for women to make that decision. This is, sounds like, oh, I'm pregnant, or I'll just, you know, swallow a couple of pills or you name it. It is desperately traumatic. And it lasts with women, even if it is their choice. And it has been their choice, and they're not being coerced into doing it. It is still really difficult for women. So the idea that women just blasé, going, you know, not today, doesn't suit me, is, I think, a myth.
I don't know if it's a myth, Gladys. There is women, of course, has a huge traumatic effect on them. And there are women who just make it. I mean, there are cases, for example, where women have had 2 or 3 abortions, you know, at a reasonably young age.
I know of them, Niall.
And in other words, it's technically being used as a contraceptive by some women.
Yeah. And I remember thinking at the time, what absolute disgust, to be quite honest with you. You know, because
I had a woman on the air. Well, actually, I didn't have her on the air. I had her supervisor on the air because she looked at it was a drug rehab center, and she had 18 abortions.
Oh,
now she wasn't Irish. Well, I point out.
Well, you know, sort of. I mean,
it's a different country.
What can you say? They're as odd and as rare as the other cases. You know.
Oh no,
but
of course.
There's always been. I find this very odd. You know, sort of. Now, first of all, the statistics seem to be absolutely off the Richter scale. How can they judge who's telling them in the post, you know?
They're not. The statistics are not off the Richter scale. We're very normal for an advanced Western democracy with about 15 to 25% pregnancy.
But then what's failing, sorry to say, you know, what's failing? Contraceptives have never been more available. You can't, you're tripping over condoms, you know, in every chemist, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I know that contraceptives can fail, you know, and not everything is 100%. But it's very rare if you're taking the pill properly or whatever you're practicing.
That's a fair point, Huey. Are one in six women having irresponsible sex?
Yes.
There's no such thing as irresponsible sex. They're having sex.
There is. Of course there's irresponsible. Hold on. If you don't want a baby or it's not the right time in your life for a child or you can't afford a child, why would you be having unprotected sex?
No, people do all over the world. It's the reality of the human condition.
But then they're stupid, aren't they?
Well, we're all stupid. We all make mistakes all the time. We all do stupid things.
One in six pregnancies.
Well, one in six is normal for an advanced Western democracy. That's a very normal number. And the statistics haven't changed significantly because of the underreporting of the abortion pill. It's nothing like 250%. Nothing like that.
By the way, that figure is probably. If I go by your statistics, Huey, and by what you're telling me, that figure of 10,033, which came out by the CSO on Friday, the government organisation, it's probably higher because realistically, many of those women are not going to doctors and they're probably still ordering those pills online.
No, that would be a mad thing to do because that would be a criminal offence to order.
But it was always a criminal offence.
Excuse me. It's always a criminal offence, but the guards turned a blind eye because they did not want to drag a young one into court and have her locked under the 1861
Act. There's not a chance that some young one's going to be dragged to court now.
The difference now is, right, is that you don't have an option. So all of a sudden the courts would start to say, well, why did you do it this way? Why didn't you just go to your GP?
But we saw a woman in the UK who was charged after having an abortion at 35 weeks where she lied to the authorities, right? And she, which was illegal, by the way, to lie to the authorities. It was illegal to have an abortion 35 weeks knowingly because she said she knew it was illegal because she had Googled it. And yet you see the lefty NGO groups shouting so loud, they got a release from jail.
Well, that's lefty NGO groups like John are entitled to their opinion. But the point is the Crown Prosecution Service in the UK will decide whether to prosecute her or not.
But they did prosecute her, but she was released after a few days because the lefties went so mad. That's what I'm saying. I'm going back to your story about the there's no way a girl is going to be dragged to court.
But the point, why would a girl who's six or a woman who's 6 or 8 weeks pregnant go and get abortion pills over the internet illegally when all she has to do is walk into her GP or walk into a clinic and get the pills there? It would be second. Why would you?
Okay, it probably isn't as common as it used to be, but I'm saying it still does happen to some extent. Okay,
extremely rarely.
Okay, sorry. So Gladys, if you had an opportunity, or did you vote in the last referendum, by the way? Gladys.
I did. You know, sort of thing, like, I wasn't one of those people that jumping up and down. I just have a question for
you. That was weird,
with the organisation, you know, that are that we're jumping up and down in excitement. You know, I don't think it's a subject that anybody should be jumping up and down. It's such a sensitive subject. But they are saying that the availability for a woman who finds herself with an unwanted pregnancy cannot access it in Ireland. This is what they're saying. So it's a contradiction there. You know, they're screaming and shouting and saying that women still have to go to the UK. It's a disgrace, blah, blah, blah.
That's not true. A couple of hundred women.
But that's what they're saying.
No, Huey, I have heard that argument put forward by People Before Profit and by other political parties. The Labour Party, they put that argument forward. Different organisations, Women's Council of Ireland, etc. I'm putting forward the argument that it's unfair that it's not available or more widely available for women because there are doctors who choose, through conscientious objection, for example, not to get involved.
The numbers are about 200 women, Irish women a year, are still going to the UK for abortions. they're ones who cannot get it after 12 weeks, right? The numbers are very, very low. That's the point. You have 10,000 abortions and about 200 don't qualify. Now, the Labour Party and others want to bring those 200 into Ireland, right? And I would agree with them, right? But it's not statistically relevant. Like, it's a tiny proportion. It's 2% of the 10,000 who can't actually access abortion in Ireland because they leave it too late. They go beyond the 12 weeks. So it's not relevant.
So are you saying then that their argument really is to extend the time limit?
Oh, here we want
to have
extend.
Actually no time limit. Yeah.
Well, no, most pro-abortion people like myself would be thinking of up to around 20 weeks, 22, 23 weeks, up to viability.
God, no. No.
Why not?
For me personally. But can I ask another question just because it just seems to me, in my mind, something's off with the picture. Because we have a situation now in Ireland, we have a situation here now that we've the most lenient surrogacy laws, right? So you have 10,033 women having abortions, and now we can go and buy a baby or rent a womb in whatever country, a poor woman's womb, and you name it, to have a baby. Now, does that not sound a bit odd?
No. What's that got to do with abortion?
No, I understand it's nothing directly to do with abortion, but I do understand the contradiction that Gladys is making. On the one hand, we're promoting the idea of, you know, some people would argue using vulnerable women to have children for somebody who can't have children. And on the other hand, we're proposing the idea of terminating pregnancies that are available in our own country. Why not spend more money on encouraging those women to go to full term and adopting the children?
Why not do that? Because that woman has decided that she doesn't want to have a baby.
I mean, there aren't, when you look at, for example, you can obviously, you know, if you're a woman in crisis, you have organizations you can contact. And the first thing they'll do is say, give you abortion advice. There isn't that many, there's no organizations, from what I'm aware of, Hughie, that you can contact and say, well, look, I'm thinking of giving my baby up for adoption, or is there any alternatives for me, or can I get paid for my medical bills during my pregnancy so I can put this baby up for adoption, or whatever. You know what I mean? There's no alternatives. We need other alternatives.
I'm sure there's Christian organizations.
And there never was, Niall, you know, sort of back even in the 80s, you know, sort of thing. I know for an absolute fact, they were promoting abortions. Now, that was in the UK. They never, ever promoted the idea that a woman on her own could be supported to have her baby.
I mean, and here's the other thing as well. How far do we go, Hughie? I know you were talking about 24 weeks, and to me, by the way, I find that deplorable, but that's your opinion, and you're entitled to it, by the way. But I'm just looking. Governor Ralph Northam in Virginia said abortion should be available in Virginia after birth.
Well, that's murder because the child is alive.
Up to a day after birth, he believes. So in other words, the child is born, you just kill it. Governor Ralph Northam.
Okay, well, that's a good look to him, but it sounds very strange that you would say that you up to one day. Why not 2 days?
Why not three? Four? Why not?
10-year-old that you don't like
the kid
anymore.
Cheeky 10-year-olds who you don't like the look of. Yeah, I understand. But by the way, I want to go back to what Gladys said, and I'm going to come to Mike now in a second as well. But Hughie, I do agree with Gladys said. You know, that celebration in Dublin Castle, the night of the referendum,
horrendous.
I thought that was appalling. There's nothing, I mean, whether you agree with abortion or you don't agree with it, the idea that you would celebrate something like that being legal to me is a bit weird. But anyway.
Well, I voted yes and I didn't celebrate. I just said if a woman wants to, she doesn't write.
Okay, no, I get that. But you weren't in Dublin Castle waving flags and jumping up and down.
No, I
thought it was deplorable. Actually, let me just go to Mike. Sorry, Mike, hi. How are you doing?
Niall, how are you?
I'm good. Mike, you've heard Hughie. He would like to see the abortion laws extended. But if you had the opportunity to vote again now, how would you vote?
Oh, I'd vote the same way I voted before, and I voted no.
Okay.
For the simple reason that the only thing that was put in the referendum before the people of Ireland was, should we take a clause out of the Eighth Amendment? That was all. There was no mention.
But repealing the whole thing, yes, repealing the...
And after the results came in, after the results came in, a majority voted to take that clause out of the Constitution. They didn't vote for anything else. Now, what happened then was...
No. Vote against the Constitution.
The political...
Hang on. I mean, we need to just clarify this. Hughie, what are you trying to say to Mike there?
the draft legislation had been public, right?
But the draft legislation has nothing to do with what we voted for.
No,
you're wrong. No, you're wrong, Huey. We don't vote for legislation. That's just run through the door. So
come
we
on.
No, no, hang on. No, but people might have thought that's what they were doing. But the only thing we voted for was to repeal the Eighth Amendment. We did not vote for draft legislation. That was a promise. That was just a promise.
We could only put things in or take things out.
Yeah.
The point that what was proposed.
Hang on, you're wrong, Huey, again, because there was suggestions at the time that we change the amendment, that we could have changed the constitution to allow for, say, for example, you could have put in the constitution in some way that we allow for abortion in Ireland up to a limit of 12 weeks. For example, that could have been put in the constitution.
The problem with that is the constitution is the basic rule book. You don't put in specifics.
We did for divorce.
Yeah, well, that was to get it passed. That was to get the thing passed, and it only passed by 10,000 votes. And if it hadn't rained in the west of Ireland, it would never pass.
Okay, sorry. Just want to go back to Mike. Sorry, Mike. I do apologize for interrupting you. But I get the point you're trying to make.
Not at all. So therefore, the Eighth Amendment was passed. But after that, the politicians got involved and they more or less assumed, as a result of the clause being taken out, of no longer protecting the life of everyone, no matter what age they are, whether they're a baby or they're a pensioner, the life was protected by that clause. Clause gone, next thing, the political parties jumped on it and said, the whole of Ireland now wants abortion. And they put forward the draft draft legislation for it.
Well, to clarify, Mike, the draft legislation was put forward before the referendum.
Okay. Mm. But it went into the Dáil, it was put to the members of the Dáil and then to the Senate, and it was passed by
politicians. Yeah.
So therefore, the law on abortion came into Ireland for the first time.
Yeah.
Now, to assist that passage, people like Dr. Varadkar and his party made a promise that if people said okay and let the legislation come in, that abortion would be safe, legal, and rare. And I would say to Dr. Varadkar today, is 10,000 babies being killed last year rare? It's not.
What? How many would you think be rare then? How many would you think be rare? How many boys?
One or two. The number of people where a mother's life is being saved, or it's a fatal abnormality,
which is 0.3% of the 10,000.
Exactly, okay. A tiny amount.
So you want the state to ignore the removal of the eighth?
No, and I'd run the referendum again.
All those politicians who pushed it through the Dáil and the Senate against the will of the people, I presume they all lost their seats in the following election.
14 of them lost their seats at the last election.
Okay,
14 pro-abortion TDs right across them, 14 of them were fired by the Irish public, and they were all pro-abortion.
How many pro-lifers got elected at the last election? Who stood on the
A very large number. I think between 20.
20. So 20 people are pro-life.
I could argue equally as Mike, as many new politicians were elected in the last election that would have been pro-choice.
The number of people who voted to retain the Eighth Amendment was 730,000 people. Once the referendum was over, they have been abandoned by the political parties in Ireland.
Why don't they,
total
why don't
disgrace.
They campaign to reinstate the eight? Why don't you campaign
perhaps
to reinstate
they are.
The eight?
Well, we're going to have
an election in the next 7 or 8 months. There's going to be an election in this country, right?
And it could very well be a number of... maybe they are. I don't know.
Okay, Mike, you were going to say something there, but I think you were interrupted. You were saying over the weekend, there is a campaign
Over the weekend, there was a funeral in Sligo of the late Tommy Gorman.
That's right, yeah.
And I'm reliably informed that a group of pro-life Sligo people approached Taoiseach Harris and pleaded with him to do something about the high rates of abortion, which were announced the previous day.
But what's the point in going to Simon Harris? Simon Harris originally got in Wicklow on a ticket of being pro-life, right?
Correct.
And he wrote to all his constituents saying, please vote for me, I'm pro-life. Within 5 years, okay, he was head of the pro-choice campaign.
Why don't the people of Sligo put up a candidate next year?
Maybe they will.
Huey, do you think that's a bit unfair? That Simon Harris originally got elected as a young man into Wicklow, wrote to all his constituents and said, I'm pro-life, vote for me, I'll always fight for your rights, right? And then within 5 years, he was the head man when it came to the repeal.
No, but in the last election, after the abortion referendum, he got re-elected by the people of Wicklow. They had the opportunity to throw him out, and they didn't. They re-elected him. So there you go. So what I'm saying to anybody who wants to reinstate the 8, run for election, run for the Dáil. Run.
Run the referendum again. Run it again.
No problem.
Because there are an awful lot of people who voted yes, who have changed their mind in the meantime when they've seen the mayhem which has taken place over the last 5 years. The number of abortions is up by 250%. It totally exceeds the number of people who are getting on a plane or a boat and going to England to have an abortion.
But I have no problem with running it again. Run it again. Why not? That's democracy. Run for election. Run the abortion referendum again. That's what democracy. Let people.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, hang on. Let me just go to Nuala as well. Stay there, please, Mike and Huey. Nuala, hi. How are you?
I'm good now. I'm just listening to the discussion, you know. But if you read the conclusion of the Supreme Court, it states that the unborn child.
Yeah, I have it here.
Neither constitutionally or legally invisible. That it does exist. You know, and that under common law, the state has a duty to protect, you know, the unborn.
It says the terms of the article.
If you didn't have the protection of the unborn, people wouldn't have, prenatal services. You couldn't have that. What are you protecting? You're protecting nothing. You know, you have to. It is human life, and maybe that's why the state has to have laws. It, you know, the original reason for abortion was that people were doing it illegally, and women were dying, and that's what happened in England. You know.
Okay, but can I clarify just for people who don't know it? So this is the Supreme Court decision on March the 7th, 2018, and the Supreme Court delivered a landmark unanimous ruling that the unborn has no constitutional rights outside of the right to life in the English Amendment. Oh, sorry, did I say English? The Eighth Amendment, right? But at the very bottom, it does actually say, the state in legislating was entitled to take into account as a factor the respect that is due to for human life as an aspect of the common good. Okay, so you could argue to some degree it's not in the common good if, say, the figures became ridiculous. But according to Huey, the figures are not ridiculous. They're pretty much in line with what's happening in the rest of Europe.
Everything has to be, like, say, if I want to kill myself, you'll have the Gardaí up here and you'll have them throw me into the psychiatric ward because I have no right to kill myself.
You know what I mean?
As a person.
You do.
You do have a right to kill yourself.
I don't encourage people to do it, but you do.
Why do we have all these organisations trying to prevent it?
No, that's euthanasia you're talking about. Other people assisting you to die.
No. I live beside the car up here.
It's not illegal to kill yourself.
All these different organisations going along, if somebody jumps in, they'll pull them out.
That's just people being kind.
Let them go down the river.
Hold on a second. If somebody jumps into the river and you see it happening, of course you're going to jump in and try and save them. That's just human nature. We try to save people. Maybe they do want to do it, but we do intervene.
Are you going to take away their freedom to do it if they want to do it?
No. We intervene because we believe that people do it, I suppose, erroneously. And we also believe that people make mistakes in their lives and make the bad choices.
But
it's not illegal.
It has to be legal.
But it's not illegal to take your own life. Not anymore.
It's illegal for someone to help you, but it's not illegal for you to do it yourself.
I don't encourage people to do it, but it's not illegal. There was a time, Nuala, it was illegal to take your own life. I don't know how they arrested people for that, by the way. But there was.
Prosecute someone who's successful.
Yeah, there was a time, but it's not illegal now.
Can we go back to the issue of abortion?
Because you're kind of gone off the subject, Nuala. Nuala, can we get back to the issue of abortion? If there was a referendum tomorrow, Nuala, how would you vote?
I think I would vote the same way because I think...
What's the same way? Yes. Did you vote yes?
Yeah, I voted against removing the aid because I was studying, I was doing a kind of modules in law at the time and health and law and that. And there was a lot of provisions for the extreme cases already being brought in. The government had the freedom to bring in different... to protect the life of the mother and even suicide. And, you know, if a mother was suicidal, a lot of them, the legislation was already coming in or in place. So, and when I'm in a choir, like, and when I heard the women in the choir saying, but, you know, they were mentioning extreme cases, I knew that the referendum would be lost.
Yeah, I think it was grossly unfair to fool the electorate with using red herrings, and I think that's what they were, because it is only, you know, as I said, 0.3% of abortions
exactly.
that take place
exactly.
because of those three kind of circumstances. So they were red herrings. But then again, in every referendum, they use red herrings. They always
people
use the extreme case.
People voted 2-1 to remove the aid. And if you wanted it reinstated, campaign to reinstate it. And if you want to change the law in the parliament, go forward to Dáil elections. Stop winning.
Make it a major issue in the general election. Make it a major issue in the general election.
I mean, Hughie, can I ask you a question? You know, in Europe at the moment, they're now considering, if I had been an MEP, I would have voted against it. But they're now considering, obviously, taking away the human right of a child, the European human rights of a child, of the unborn child. Would you agree with that?
I don't know enough about the legislation in Europe, but I presume I would. Yeah, I presume all women should have the right to abortion. I would agree with that, but I don't
know. They want to make abortion a human right. Do you believe it should be a human right?
I'm not mad on human rights anyway. They're just man-made. That's man-made religion, you know, turning human rights into...
No, not necessarily. I think we all have human rights, you know. I mean, I'd like to make free speech a human right. You know what I mean?
Human rights are part of negotiated social contract, like abortion is too.
Would you think free speech should be a human right in this country?
Yeah, everything should be. Everything is up for negotiation in free speech. I was like, that man said earlier, do I think he should be allowed to stand outside the hospital and campaign? I said, of course he should be. He should be allowed to express his opinion. And that man in Sligo who's given out, stand for election.
Mike, if you feel very strongly about it, Mike. And by the way, for you know, in the interest of full transparency, Mike, you belong to any pro-life group?
Yes.
Okay, that's fair enough. Now, by the way, I'm not standing wrong with that.
Forward, Mike.
The Leixlip pro-life group.
So why don't you run for election, Mike?
Run for election, Sligo. I'm even older than you, Niall.
What about it?
It doesn't matter. You sound coherent. You sound very coherent and intelligent, Mike.
I'm in my 80th year.
Ah, well.
So what? You're a citizen of the Republic. Put your name forward. Let people vote for you.
President of Ireland is older than you. President.
You do that.
Yeah. I mean, Mike, why not? There are younger people. Well, Mike, there are younger people, I'm assuming they're a part of your group. Why don't they run for election?
I'm telling you that it's really a middle-aged and older folk in our North Kildare area who are involved in the pro-life movement.
Sorry, old Hughie had to go. By the way, Mike, I'm assuming you were kind of quite happy during the Trump-Biden debate the other night to hear abortion being brought up.
Well, you know, it's another constituency. I've no vote in America. Okay, I keep a watching brief because what happens in America then spreads to the rest of the world, including ourselves here in Ireland.
Yeah.
And I think that when the Roe versus Wade right to abortion was abolished, we were quite happy with that. And we thought that our own government here would take a leaf out of their book and maybe bring in something like the heartbeat legislation, which means that once a heartbeat is detected in an embryo, it's illegal to have an abortion. And there are many states in America who have brought in that law. Mm.
No, I am looking, by the way, at a piece of information there. It was a study, 96% of women who couldn't access abortion don't regret it after 5 years. To me, by the way, that's a substantial study. In other words, those who couldn't access it, in other words, didn't regret that they couldn't have an abortion. Anyway, after 5 years. Thank you very much indeed, Mike, and I appreciate you coming on to talk to us today.
Not at all, Niall, and welcome back.
Thank you very much indeed. But I haven't gone away in the podcast. It's just the radio. I was away for a little while.
No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Keep up the podcast work. Excellent work.
All right, thanks very much indeed, and I appreciate it.
Okay, Niall.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
All right, now let me see. Oh yes, I've got some WhatsApp messages to play for you here. Let me just play one or two of these if I can.
Hey Noel, now I voted yes for that referendum, and it's one of the worst mistakes I ever made voting for anything in this country ever. Absolutely disgusted with myself. But you believe lawyers when they're told you, more fool you, huh? Fool me once and all that. Yeah, it's an absolute travesty. Them numbers are absolutely shocking. Shocking. And like I said, they're only pushing to make more and more. Yeah, disgusted with myself. If you get a do-over, I'll definitely be voting the other way this time around, if it ever happens. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Tell Angela Noel, if she, you know, she has no kids. She doesn't understand love. She does not understand love. Could you imagine me, or even you, Noel, or even you, Pete, aborting your children? I have my three children now. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That word abortion. If I'd aborted them three, oh, my God. Tell Angela, all right, until she has kids, until she understands what love is all about, I'd say she would have changed her bleeding mind. Cheers.
Afternoon, Noel. Very, very emotional topic as usual with this. You know where I stand on it, Noel. I'm pro-life, always have been. Big thing, ask Angela there, Maureen. Do men get a choice in this? If a man doesn't want to be a father, can he opt out? Never be taken to court, never pay money for it? You know what the answer to that will be? No, 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 no. You have sex, you pay. What's it, you dip the wick, you pay for the oil? No, why are we always tidying up women's messes? I thought you were equal to us. I thought you were the same. Woman has unprotected sex. She knows the risk. She can get pregnant. She can get STDs and all. Woman has unprotected sex. We give her the morning after pill, tidy up that little mess. She misses that appointment. Sure, you can go and have an abortion, kill your fetus, your clump of cells, your baby, whatever you want to call it. She doesn't choose that option. Sure, the government will look after you. Don't need to put a father's name on the thing. Sure, fathers don't mean anything nowadays, do they, Noel? We'll give you a house and we'll pay you till the child is 18. Jeez, I'd love the government to be able to come in and solve some of my messes. I was never handed a house because I got a girl pregnant. Huh? Very double standards. Very double standards, Noel, but it's a good topic.
Thanks very much indeed, Jason, Neil, Jonathan, I think it was before that as well. I think, by the way, generally speaking, a lot of the comments that we've got in, I can read out one or two of them here actually. Estelle says, what are you talking about? The number of abortions needed by Irish women hasn't gone up. We just legalise it here. Stop forcing women to go abroad to get the necessary healthcare they need. Maureen is 100% right, says somebody else. Angela is beginning to sound like a whingy, whiny, patronising Saoirse, says Michael on WhatsApp. Shenio says on X, only victims of rape should be allowed an abortion. Sharon on X says, do Morris and Angela have any opinion on the gestational limits? If they have a limit, they are not pro-choice. Does Morris care, pardon me, for any men whose baby is killed against his will? And who has to live with that pain for the rest of their lives. Mike says, voted no then, and I'll vote no again. And then Sarah says, the only reason I voted yes is if women's life or health is deemed to be at risk. However, wasn't there to be a 3-year review, etc. Also my fault, I never researched another thing that caught my mind after it was a women's mental health regarding was clear cut when it came. Someone was at risk of suicide, etc. Okay, so I think what she's saying is that, like many people, she were kind of fooled into the idea that it was only women's lives being at risk. I think a lot of people were fooled, by the way, that referendum. There should have been a guarantee that the legislation would never be changed. The only way to do that, by the way, would be to insert it into the Constitution, which many people at the time said it was possible. Others said it wasn't possible. Anyway, thank you very much indeed for everybody who got involved in the show. Judging by the comments online, 70% of people said they would vote no if the referendum was run again, and they believed they were fooled, and only 30% said they'd vote yes. So that surprises me a little bit. It just goes to show you that we weren't thinking properly, or maybe we didn't research it properly, or maybe the people who are texting in and what's happening now is a disproportionate amount of people and was just incorrect. Anyway, thank you to everybody who got involved in the show. Remember, this is your platform, a platform to have uncensored views on whatever topic it is. You would not hear a conversation like this on radio. I understand earlier on, some people might find it insensitive that some people call abortion murder. That's their choice. That's free speech. That's just their choice. If they want to use those words, they can, because they're pro-life supporters. If you don't want to use those words or you object to those words, well, you're clearly pro-choice and you're entitled to your view as well and your opinion. So That's what we do. We provide this platform every day. You won't hear this on Joe Duffy. You won't hear this on any talk show on the radio because it's uncensored. And if anyone wants to complain about what people say, you can complain, but I'm the boss. I decide if I get fired or not. So thank you very much indeed to everybody for allowing us to have this podcast every single day. We work hard at it. We really do. We've had a difficult time, I'm not going to lie to you, over the last month and a half, because as you know, I ran for election. Because I ran for election, I had to give up my radio job. My radio job pays my wages. That's what pays for this podcast. Unfortunately, obviously I'm on beans and chips. Thankfully, I'm only paid at the end of next month now because I'm back on radio since Monday, as most of you know. But between the three of us, you know, we have our own jobs. We don't make any money out of this podcast. The podcast just about, and I mean just about, pays the bills. This month, obviously, it didn't because we have to put money into the kitty. So please help us and please support us. We do have a plan. We're now reaching out to investors. We've put forward a plan for a full media organisation. I'll tell you more about it, and I'm going to show you some of the graphics and everything else during the week and what have you. We're also changing the way we do this podcast slightly, and I'll tell you about that. That we'll be doing that during the week, and we'll tell you how you don't lose out on listening to it for free every day. But it's going to be a bigger organisation because we believe, like many other countries around the world, Irish people are entitled to a conservative view. And we're entitled to a slightly right-leaning view, if you want to call it that, or even centrist in some cases, people would suggest, because at the moment, what you're hearing is a left-leaning view. When was the last time you saw RTE do a documentary, for example, to say that the scientists in the world who don't believe that human beings are responsible for climate change? When was the last time that was? And that is the case. There are scientists who believe that, just like there are scientists who believe that we are. When was the last time you saw RTE do that? You won't, because it won't happen. It won't be allowed. When was the last time you saw pro-life people being interviewed in RTE? Probably never in the last 3 or 4 years, because it won't happen. You know, about suggesting maybe another referendum. It won't happen because we don't have balance in media. During the election campaign, I was treated abysmally. I wasn't allowed onto the primetime debate. I was ignored by most of the media. TV3 didn't ask me to come on, or TV3, it's shit, isn't it? It's now called Virgin Media One. It was the worst rebranding in history. It's a dreadful television station anyway. But anyway, they didn't ask me to come on until after the election, until they knew that I was out and I'd lost the seat. I swiftly told them to go piss themselves, and I couldn't be bothered going onto the poxy television station. Anyway, the point is before that, you know, TV3 on The Tonight Show, which was the only show that actually featured any of the candidates, they featured all lefties. Bunch of lefties. That's all they featured. Aaron O'Riordan got a half an hour to himself on The Tonight Show. I didn't get a half an hour. I didn't even get 2 minutes. I got a mention. Oh, by the way, he's run. So we need an alternative in Irish media. And we're going to offer you that. We're going to offer you a media organisation with an alternative. So please help us to go forward with this. If you can donate even a fiver or a tenner, please go to our website, nileboylan.com. It's an easy one to remember, nileboylan.com. If you can't remember .ie, we'll do fine. You'll still get there. .com, but nileboylan.com. Click on the donate button or subscribe. If you want to subscribe, it's only the price of a cup of coffee between the three of us once a month. That's all it is. You get to see all the previous episodes. They're all there. Or listen to any of the previous episodes. They're all there. You can't see them anywhere else apart from the website if you want to watch the videos. Some of them, obviously, they're worth watching. This one, probably, you can just listen to it. That's fine. Most people just listen and don't watch them. But the ones, for example, with the interviews. And we've interviewed Julius Assange's wife. We've interviewed a woman who was married to a transgender man. We've interviewed so many great people, by the way. And all of those, Nigel Farage, all of those interviews are there, by the way. We've lots more interviews on the way. So please subscribe to the website. It helps us tremendously. If you can't subscribe, please donate. Even a fiver, a tenner, 20. Somebody actually donated 300 quid last week. I really, really appreciate it. We really do appreciate it. If you can donate that, if you're a very wealthy person and you want to support us to allow people to have this platform that gives people a view, be a conservative, or by the way, we invite people, we welcome people on the air who are left-leaning. Without them, we don't have debate. Like Huey would be that was on today, would be clearly left-leaning. And that's fine too. We don't abuse them. Some of the callers might, but I certainly don't. So please do support us. NileBoylan.com. Just a small donation. And we can pay those bills. Once we can pay the bills, that's all we care about. We don't care about making money yet. That'll come down the road at some point in the future. We'll make a profit out of it. But for the moment, we just want to pay the bills. We don't want to have advertising on the screen behind us because we don't want to be dictated to by advertisers as to what we can talk about. Like if I had a main sponsor, for example, would they turn around to me today and go, oh, Niall, I don't want you talking about abortion. Or, oh, Niall, I don't want you talking about free speech or hate speech laws or whatever. So we don't want them dictating to us because that's happened to me in radio so many times. So please allow us to continue without doing that by supporting us. Go to the website, nileboylan.com. Throw a tenner our way, a fiver, whatever you can. Please do it. It'll really help us. We should talk to you again tomorrow. Same time, 12 o'clock. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.